Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is part of our epistle lesson, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and then 17 through 19. Let us rise. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. So far the text. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. So when you go home today, dear fellow redeemed, look in the mirror. And since you don't have a mirror with you today, just look at your hands. Look at your hands and realize that what you see will one day be reduced to mere dust. As God told Adam, you are dust, and to dust you will return. That's the law, as we talked about this last Wednesday. And from what we can tell reading here in Romans, because you're a son or a daughter of Adam, you were born a sinner. And that innate sinfulness showed itself. It showed itself in the fact that you have sinned. You've committed actual sins. And the fact that you were born a sinner with this innate sinfulness means that it will one day bring forth dust. It'll bring forth dust because from dust you came, and to dust you will return. Adam did terrible things to himself and to all of his posterity. That's you and me. He brought the curse of death into this world. And because he and Eve died spiritually on that day, all their offspring were born without spiritual life. You and me were born without spiritual life, spiritually dead, alienated from God. The only one of their descendants who wasn't was Jesus, because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by being a mere mortal father, having a mere mortal father. But as it is for us, we're born mortal, we're born spiritually dead, doomed to die, and that's the fix we're in, cursed and dying. But of course, we wouldn't be here today if we didn't know the fact that there is hope. Starting at the very first part of the book, Paul stressed the universal disaster of sin. It doesn't make any difference who you are. It doesn't make any difference what group you're from. Nobody's exempt, whether you're Jew or Gentile. And because of the way God has chosen to rescue us, the good news is nobody is, because of who they are, excluded from that either, whether they're Jew or Gentile or what have you. He makes the point many ways, and here also, emphasizing that we are all children of one man, Adam, who by sin brought that tyrant death into this world. And now all of us, by one man, the second Adam, he has overthrown that tyrant for all of us. Death is a tyrant. Death is a tyrant indeed. But in our culture, death is seen merely as a process of nature. You know how Disney romanticizes death in the circle of life. Yeah, it's just something that happens, and you go down, you become compost, and then you come growing back up again. As far as many think, if you can tell a baby has a defect, well, death is useful. Death is utilitarian, because you can kill it before you have to look at it. And besides, it makes money. Most profitable surgical procedure for years in this country. According to the neo-Darwinists, death is what we have to thank for the world today. It's almost like it's their God. It weeds out the unfit. Now, people get a little uncomfortable when we do that on purpose, like the Nazis did. You know, they killed the unfit, the defective, the disabled, the mentally ill in the gas chambers, along with uncompliant Christians and the people most remembered for, of course, and that's the Jews. So we'd have to say that the devil has had his way in this world because there is such a love of death. And Jesus says this love of death, this resorting to death, is of the devil, as when the Jews wanted to kill him. He said, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning," John 8. So the world loves death. We could narrow that down a little bit. The world loves the death of other people. For some, it means, some in Islam, for example, it's the best way to deal with those who aren't Muslim. For gang enforcers, it's the solution to competition. For statist bean counters, it reduces expenses for the healthcare system. You can especially see this in countries that have embraced what they call euthanasia as the death and even unwilling death of the aged increases. But what do you think about death when it separates you from somebody you love? What do you think about death when the dying process starts with you, with your getting sick and weak and aged? What do you think about death when it takes the life of your child or your spouse or your loving parent? What do you think about it when, as part of the police or military, you have to inflict death upon others in order to protect the innocent? What do you think about death, finally, when death means an eternity separated from every beneficent attribute of God? No love, no joy, no peace, but only pain and despair. You think I'm getting a little grim this morning? Maybe I'm not even grim enough. Because in our culture, we really aren't serious about death. We don't think about it. We might fear it. We might ignore it. But we don't really think about what can we do about death. We need to follow Paul's lead here and understand that death has become a tyrant in this world. As Paul says, death reigned. Death takes you against your will. It has its way with you. And we need to understand where death came from and whom it affects. Paul tells us, sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. Frequently, God's word underscores the seriousness, the universality, then the inevitability of death, and especially connects it to the fact that it's a result of sin. Take Isaiah, for example. The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades." He doesn't leave us without hope, however, for he concludes this section. "But the word of our God stands forever." And then, I guess, we can't forget Job. "Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue." I can go on and on for going through verses very similar to that. But you get the point. Because Adam sinned, the tyrant death is let loose in the world. Because Adam sinned, death oppresses us all. Because you were born in Adam's image, sinful, you were born mortal and doomed to die. And Paul pounds home the fact that it isn't because of who you are particularly, or because you're descended from somebody special, or because you're part of some special group that this happened to you. It's universal. So how do we deal with it? And this, in our culture today, people deal with death in different ways. Of course, we're a very mixed culture, so a lot of different ways people deal with it. But we can boil them down to a few and dispense with them pretty quickly. There's the don't think about it group. This is basically the eat, drink, and be merry, because you might die tomorrow group. There's the when you're dead, you're dead group. And we would call this secular materialism. And, you know, that's almost the official government line. That's pretty much what you're going to see established in our courts and our educational system, secular materialism. For a lot of people, there's the, oh, we all go to a better place line. All that is just vaguely spiritual. That's the kind of religion you expect to get from Oprah or from the Universalist Unitarian sects or from liberal so-called Christian denominations like the ELCA. And it's what we call wishful thinking. Now, what do all three of these have in common? You notice they don't ever really deal with death. They're not really serious about answering the questions. What does it mean to fall into the What does it mean to fall into the hands of the living God? Or must death reign over me? Is there no escape from its slavery? If so, what would it be? Now understand that Paul's audience, as he writes this book to the Romans, they were serious about death. They understood the significance of death. They accepted the truth that there is death and there is a judgment day. A judgment day for all of us, and those lacking righteousness and true holiness were to face the living God, and hell was their fate. So how did they deal with it? Well, there were some who seemed to think that if you were part of a special group, that God might deal with you a little more favorably. So one thing you might do is keep the Jewish law, become Jewish, find your way into Christianity, and that's going to make a special difference in your relationship with God. And just generically, there's a corollary to that that's common to all of the man-made religions, and that is maybe we can escape death if the good we do outdoes the bad. That's kind of the Muslim approach. That's sort of the Roman church in its medieval worst. That's the way it is in all man-made religions. maybe I can tip the scales in my favor by getting a lot of good works over here. That's going to balance out the bad works. Maybe I can just keep a certain portion of that law perfectly, so that'll make a difference for me. Maybe I can qualify as part of a privileged group, so that'll count in my favor. But the fact is, and this is the point he's making, we're doomed to die and then face condemnation. And so far, it's not looking good. Ignoring death won't make it go away. All of the works in the world are not going to undo the bad we've done. In fact, I dare you. Can you tell me that you, in absolutely every circumstance, know the right way from the wrong? Do you have such incredible moral clarity that you know what the right way is to go, much less have the strength to choose it? You see, it looks like sin reigns in our mortal bodies. It looks like death, that terrible tyrant, reigns supreme. But wait. Paul says that if sin and death could come through one man into this whole world and reign over it without our choosing it, righteousness and life could also come into this world through one man, a Savior, and reign for life instead of death. For if because of one man's trespass, he says, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So if you take death seriously, and you see the power with which it has reigned over this world because of sin, and if you see you're powerless to stop it, well, then this is good news. Because like it or not, we inherited and received sin and death with it. But Paul points to the fact that without our doing anything about it, Jesus came. And from him, that one man, we receive grace and the free gift of righteousness. That because Jesus is God the Son, he will reign even more powerfully. This righteousness will reign even more powerfully in life than sin reigns in death. He goes on, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. What was that obedience? What was that one act of righteousness that leads to justification and life for us? And of course, it was Jesus' obedience. His obedience in that he never sinned. Facing all the same commandments we do, he was tempted in every way we were, but yet without sin. And it especially refers to the fact that when faced with God's will that he pay the price for your sin, he was obedient to God's will. And he stepped into your shoes. Stepped into your shoes and stepped under death itself to suffer your death for you. And it's in that way, by that obedience, that you and I are made righteous. Because of his obedience, there's righteousness for you. Because of his obedience, I can forgive you. I announce to you the full and free forgiveness of all of your sins. If you're a child of Adam, well, you are inherited sin. But if you are a child of Adam, you are redeemed by the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the whole world. And so your sins are forgiven. I take death very seriously. It's part of what we do, part of what we face. And I know that, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is sin. What makes it kill is sin. And so to have righteousness is to defeat death. To have righteousness is to take away its sting. To have righteousness is to have life and salvation. That becomes the very death of death itself. And so death, that tyrant, no longer reigns over you. You can look into the future and you can know for sure that death does not have the power over you. Death does not have its way with you because death is defeated. Instead, the one who has taken your place and given you his righteousness says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That old tyrant death is dethroned. There's a new king and a new kingdom where righteousness lives. And this righteousness is yours because Christ is risen. This righteousness is yours by grace through faith in the risen Christ. Oh yeah, death is a terrible tyrant, but Christ is a greater rescuer, the King of all kings, the destroyer of tyrants, the destroyer of death. This is most certainly true. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.